Well, good morning, church family, and happy new year to you. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and open to Proverbs chapter 8, page 532 in your pew Bible. Happy new year as you turn. If one of your resolutions was to go to church faithfully this year, you're one for one. So press on. I've got a little bit of whatever's been going around. I got a little bit of a cold this morning, which is why I sound a bit like a trumpeter swan. And it's also why I've not been shaking hands with folks and giving hugs except to Pastor Vince. But as I look at Proverbs chapter 8, page 532 in your pew Bibles, I've asked Andy Weeks if he will come and read our passage for us this morning. So, brother, you come. I'm glad you're in. You want a hug?
Stand together and honor God's word. From Proverbs chapter 8, does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud. To you, O man, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasures. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Blessed be the word of God. Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, as we embark on a new year, as a church family, and as individual followers of Jesus Christ, we pray for wisdom and we pray for grace. We pray that 2020 would be a year where Jesus Christ is exalted in this place and in our hearts. Father, we ask in the moments that we have together, that your word would transcend a weak human vessel. We've gathered for your wisdom, not the wisdom of a mere mortal. And so, Father, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would open our minds and, more importantly, open our hearts to understand and receive your word. We pray all of this for the exaltation of Jesus Christ, our King. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. 2020 has the potential of being a great year in your life and a great year in the life of our church family. I am an optimist, but that is not just optimism that you are hearing from an individual or a personality. 2020 has the potential to be an extraordinary year. And it has the potential to be an extraordinary year for every single one of us individually and as a church family. I'm excited about some of the things that we've got going on this year. We've got a team that's going to go to Wales on a missions trip. In October, we've already got a group working on a 50th anniversary celebration where we are going to gather together and celebrate the faithfulness of God at Hurstbourne Baptist Church, and also to cast vision for years to come as well. Even this Sunday and next Sunday, we've got new Sunday school classes that are starting. The Edgars are starting a Sunday school class. The Milligans have slid into a Sunday school class. And Jenny Donnell is starting a ladies' Sunday school class. There are so many good things that are happening. When I think about this next year, I want to start us here the first Sunday of 2020 out on the right foot. It'll be a good year by God's grace, and if he wills, but only as we set a proper course. Our purpose, as you should know or do know by now as a church family, is really singular. We want to exalt Jesus Christ in our life, and we want to exalt Jesus Christ as a church family together and share his good news. But in order to do that well, we need wisdom. In order to steward the resources that the Lord has entrusted to us, to organize and to plan, and to, when you think about all of the different personalities and skills and abilities that are represented in this room, what we need is wisdom. I found myself over the break praying constantly to the Lord for wisdom and for grace. For wisdom and for grace. I prayed so much for wisdom and for grace that I thought, well, January, first Sunday, 2020, we'll talk about wisdom. And second Sunday, 2020, we will talk about grace. That's going to be our course. In January, we'll have a series of topical sermons. Starting the first Sunday in February, we will work our way through a study of Galatians in the spring. But these first two Sundays, wisdom and grace, and I will direct your attention to Proverbs chapter 8. A passage about wisdom. You will need an open Bible in your lap if you're going to be helped by this sermon. We don't preach from the Wall Street Journal. We don't talk about what's most relevant out in the world. Certainly don't preach from that publication from hell, Forbes magazine. As a church family, we gather together and we look to God's word. We don't consult with a man for wisdom. We consult with the word of God, his eternal truth, to chart our course for us. And so we're going to spend the balance of our time this morning looking at Proverbs chapter 8 and understanding what wisdom is, which is frankly very difficult for us in a Western context to understand what wisdom is. There are three questions that are going to structure the sermon this morning. Those three questions I'll give you up front. Who is Lady Wisdom? What is her worth? And what would it be like to have a conversation with Lady Wisdom on the first Sunday of 2020 as we push into the year and the decade in front of us? So that's the direction we're going first. Who is Lady Wisdom? In verses 1 and 2, does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way at the crossroads, she takes her stand. In the book of Proverbs, wisdom is personified as a woman. It's a poetic device. It's a literary character, if you will. And not only is wisdom personified as a woman, as you can see in verses 1 and 2, she raises her voice. She takes her stand at the crossroads. But, verse 4, men and children are personified as fools and the simple ones. I thought I'd hear some amens at that point, but I hear, hearing none, proceed. Verse 4, to you, O men, I call. My cry is to the children of man, O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Now, I'm sure you already know this, but I'll say it nonetheless. There's no need to get bent out of shape over the fact that Lady Wisdom is personified as a woman and that men and children are personified as the foolish ones that need to learn sense. Much the same way that in America we would make reference to Lady Liberty. In the scriptures, Lady Wisdom is personified as wisdom. And she calls out, she cries out, to give wisdom, to give understanding. The figure of Lady Wisdom can help us as we move through Proverbs chapter 8. We want real skill, real knowledge, real discernment, real understanding as we think about what it means to exalt Jesus Christ individually and corporately in 2020. And Lady Wisdom will give wisdom to us. We want to fulfill our commission. We want to carry out the purpose that God has given to us this year. Lady Wisdom will help us. And Lady Wisdom is just a reference for wisdom in general, so men can be wise and women can be foolish. It's just a poetic device. And so what we want to do is dig into what it means to be wise. The Hebrew word chokmah for wisdom is much more than just knowledge. It's much more than just little bits of data on a hard drive or bits of data and knowledge in your brain. It's much more than that. Wisdom makes use of knowledge, makes use of skills, makes use of abilities, but it's really practical in that it's governed by the fear of the Lord, and it helps you know how to live your life. And certainly live your life well. One of my favorite examples of this is in Exodus chapter 31. God said to Moses, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God and given him ability and wisdom. There's the word, wisdom, with knowledge and all craftsmanship. To do what? Why did the Spirit of God fill him with wisdom? What is it that he was going to do? To devise artistic designs, to work in gold and in silver and in bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, to work in every craft. And they used their abilities, their wisdom, their skills to construct the tent of meeting, to construct the Ark of Testimony, the mercy seat, and the furnishings of the tent. All of the components of skill and the components of knowledge came together, inspired by the Spirit of God, so that the tent of meeting could be crafted. And so you find that wisdom is not just something in an ivory tower where someone is speaking things. You find that wisdom is as practical as daily life. It's as practical as cutting stone. It's as practical as carving wood. They were cutting stones and carving wood to the glory of God. They were doing their work with magnificent skill in artistry. Perhaps they didn't feel like wisdom was just oozing out of them as they were cutting stones and carving wood, but what they were doing, they were using their life situation. They were using their abilities. They were using their skills and their talents underneath the fear of the Lord and honor of the Lord to construct the tent of meeting. They were wise. And that's what we also want to be, is wise. We want to know how to take our skills, our abilities, our relationships, our resources, and honor the Lord with them in the most spiritual and practical way in 2020. And when that happens, when you do that, and when we do that together, it's called wisdom. We're being governed by Lady Wisdom. This is the exact kind of thing that's happening in chapter 8 of Proverbs. If you look at verse 22, you find something fascinating. I want you to see this in the scripture because I don't want you to imagine I'm just sharing this off the top of my head. I want you to see Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22. Lady Wisdom says, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old." And what was the first of his acts of old? Well, it's in the creation and the formation of the world. "Ages ago, I was set up at the first before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth." If you skip down to verse 30, "I was beside him like a master workman. I was daily his delight." It was by wisdom that the Lord was artistically crafting the world. It was by wisdom that the Lord created all things, including human beings, man and woman. Lady Wisdom said, "I was there. I was beside him. I was rejoicing in his work. I was there at the beginning. I know how life is stitched together. I know the way that the Lord constructed things and put things together from the very beginning." And so she says, "I am qualified to speak to you about your life. I'm qualified to speak to you about your relationships. I'm qualified to speak to you about what it means to take your individual skills and to use them for the glory of God, whether you're a barista or a student or a teacher or a fireman or a parent. Or retired, or an IT manager, whatever it is, whatever your skills, whatever your knowledge, whatever your ability, you need wisdom to know how to take your abilities, your skills, your knowledge, your life, your resources, and use them in such a way that you glorify and honor the Lord." And Lady Wisdom says right out of the gate, "I know how it works. I've got something to teach you." As we move into 2020, we want to hear her call and we want to hear her voice. And that naturally leads to the second point. What is the worth of Lady Wisdom? What is her value? Lady Wisdom is worth more than silver and gold. And in verse 33, we're told, "Do not neglect her." Do not neglect Lady Wisdom. Verses 14 to 16, Proverbs says, "I have counsel and sound wisdom." This is Lady Wisdom speaking. "I have insight. I have strength. By me, kings rule and rulers decree what is just. By me, princes rule and nobles and all who govern justly." Where you see a king or a ruler or someone who's got power and they're using it in a way that upholds justice, you've got Lady Wisdom governing that king and that prince and that ruler. Where you've got someone who is governing in a way that is unjust, where you've got corruption, you don't have Lady Wisdom. You've got a different lady at the end of chapter 9, Lady Folly, a woman named Folly who is loud and seductive, governing such a one. Verse 19, Lady Wisdom says, "My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver." That's why we're told back in verse 10, "Take my instruction instead of silver." There's many people who would rather have silver and gold than wisdom. It's foolish. Lady Wisdom says, "Take my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her." When Solomon was going to pass the reins, as it were, down to his son, he gathered his son to him and he said, "Son," as the king, he said, "I want to teach you what my father David taught me. I want to teach you a lesson and I want to teach you something that's very important." And in chapter 4, verse 7, he says, "Whatever else you get in life, get wisdom. Prize her highly and she will exalt you." It's great value in possessing wisdom, Solomon would tell his son. And he said, "I learned this from King David, the greatest of all the kings in the Jewish line outside of Jesus Christ. All who hate me, on the other hand." So the value of possessing wisdom, well, what's the downside? What's the flip side? What's the cost of rejecting wisdom? She tells us, "All who hate me love death. He who fails to find me injures himself," you read in verse 36. Where on the one hand, wisdom is worth more than silver and gold. On the other hand, those who reject wisdom injure themselves. They harm themselves. And if you hate wisdom, if you despise Lady Wisdom, the option is death. You love death. And church family is just a painful reality that we want to be very honest about right here at the beginning. Do you think about your friends and family members, or perhaps even your own life, those points in life where you have forsaken the path of wisdom? It's been an injury to you. How hard it is to watch folks forsake wisdom and harm themselves, and how often you feel powerless to help. The opposite of wisdom is folly, and folly clusters together like grapes with some other things. It clusters together with sin and pain and heartache. People who reject wisdom genuinely believe they're pursuing the right path for themselves. They're listening to Lady Folly and they're going away from the path of wisdom. They're not doing it intentionally to injure themselves, but they don't know that that's the path that leads to pain. They don't know that that's a path that leads to death. They go their own way. They hear the call of wisdom, but they say, I know better. I'm going to go this way. I'm not going to heed the call of Lady Wisdom. And so you read countless proverbs of this type. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Chapter 12, verse 15. Chapter 15, verse 5. He will not hear instruction. This is Lady Wisdom calling out the men and children. And Lady Wisdom says, there are some who will not hear instruction. In Proverbs 19:3, it leads to ruin. Have you ever tried to reason with someone that just seemed bent on injuring themselves? Have you ever tried to reason with someone who they were making a bad decision and you knew they were, but it's like they couldn't hear. They can't. They couldn't see sense. I've met my soulmate and they make me feel so good. So they abandon their family. Have you ever spoken with someone so drunk with rage that you knew if they left your side, they were going to harm somebody? This is the path of folly. They can't control their spirit. And as an outsider, you look in and you say they're unstable. They're going to injure themselves. They're going to bring harm. This is someone who can't hear Lady Wisdom calling out. And frankly, maybe that's where some of you are as we start this first Sunday in 2020. Maybe you found yourself in a situation that just feels hopeless because there's been a string of decisions that you've made and you fall into this point in life where it just seems dismal. I mean, when you talk to someone in that situation, when they finally injured themselves and they've gotten in a situation where it's like, I don't know what to do. I've got two options and both options just seem dismal at this point. My circumstances are bad. You need wisdom. You need Lady Wisdom. And the good news is that Lady Wisdom has some people that she dwells with. The text tells us that Lady Wisdom dwells with prudence, verse 12. And she dwells with knowledge and discretion. And the good news of Lady Wisdom is that she sees options and she sees things that you can't see. So often you get into a situation in life and you think, I can either go this way or I can go this way. And both options seem dismal, but Lady Wisdom comes into the picture with prudence at her side. And she sees things you can't see. The best illustration I know to give of this, she sees nuance, she sees options, she sees opportunities. And the best illustration I've heard on this and that I know to try to convey this is a Sherlock Holmes novel. Sherlock Holmes walks onto a scene with Watson, and first Sherlock Holmes asks Watson, what do you see in this crime scene? Or perhaps you stroll into a crime scene as a novice because you watched one or two episodes of CSI, and there's an actual real detective beside you, and what do you see? And you see the obvious things. Well, there's a smoking gun sitting right there. But Sherlock walks onto the scene, what does he do? He sees 15,000 things that we don't see. He sees this little wrinkle in the rug. Well, let me tell you what that wrinkle means. He sees a pile of ash from a cigar and they're still warm. Or he sees a little smudge of dirt behind somebody's ear and he puts together where they've been or what they've done. This is the way that Lady Wisdom works. I read this past week in A Scandal in Bohemia, Holmes and Watson talk about the difference between the two of them at a crime scene. Watson says, when I hear you give your reasons, Watson says, the thing always appears to me to be so ridiculously simple that I could easily do it myself. But at each instant of your reasoning, I am baffled until you explain your process, and yet I believe that my eyes are as good as yours. And Holmes looks at him and says, well, quite so. You know, quite so. The problem is not the eyes, you don't know how to use them. In the exact same way, you find yourself in a situation and you've got one situation where if I go this way, it seems dismal. And if I go that way, it seems dismal. You need wisdom. One of the most hopeless things you can do, places you can be in life is in a situation where you feel like everything's crashing in around you and you don't have the wisdom to take the next productive, wholesome, God-honoring step that you need to take. This is where Lady Wisdom steps into the picture and says, I know you only see two options, but there are 15, and 13 of them are wholesome, and two of them that you fixated on are dismal and hopeless. This is why we need wisdom, and the good news of this text is that she calls out. She's not hiding. Lady Wisdom is not hiding from any one of us. It's not some secret knowledge that only one or two get. You read in the scriptures, Lady Wisdom cries out. Look at chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. You need wisdom? To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine that I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Or if you flip back to Proverbs chapter 1, again, you've got Lady Wisdom calling out to the fool or to the simple one or to the one who needs wisdom. Wisdom cries aloud in the streets. She's not hiding from you. She's not hiding from you. You need to hear that. If you're in a hard situation and you need wisdom, Lady Wisdom is not hiding from you. She cries out in the streets and in the market. She raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. This is Lady Wisdom calling out to you, saying, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will give you the instruction that you need. So you've got to, in your heart, approach her and sit at her feet and receive the wisdom that she has for you. She's not hiding. Hear me when I say that. For you that feel stuck in a hard circumstance or a hard situation, she is not hiding. She's calling out to you. Do you hear her call? And that leads to the third point. What if you could have a conversation with Lady Wisdom? What if you could have a conversation with Lady Wisdom this first Sunday of January 2020? What would that conversation look like? Imagine what you would learn. If you could go sit down and speak to her and say, I need wisdom. I need to know the path to walk. I need to know, where do I start? Where do I go? I'm ready. I want to hear. I actually think you could possibly be disappointed by that conversation. She always, mark this, if you're taking notes, you get a conversation. If she was up there behind that door right now, and you go up there and you could have a conversation with Lady Wisdom, she always, always, always starts the conversation in the same way. Always. You want to have a conversation with Lady Wisdom, you may. But it will always, always start in the same way. Most of us want to go, and we sort of want to collect wisdom from Lady Wisdom like we're somehow getting after a Pez dispenser, and we just want to take a little brick of candy and go on our merry way. Should I take this job or should I take that job? Should I marry Tom or Jerry? Neither. She doesn't work that way. And if you approach Lady Wisdom like that, you will be disappointed in the conversation because she doesn't start by talking about you. She does not start by talking about you. Wisdom does not start with your life and your circumstances. It has everything to do with your life and your circumstances, but it doesn't start with your life and your circumstances. I told you earlier that I thought 2020 could be an incredible year for your life, but not if it's about you. not if it's about your gains and your losses and your bonus and your job and what the Lord's going to do for you. When you go and approach Lady Wisdom, she starts the conversation every single time by talking about the Lord and more specifically the fear of the Lord. You sit down to have a conversation with Lady Wisdom and you say, I want wisdom for my life. I want to know how to live my life well in 2020. And she's going to say, okay, let's talk about the fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 13, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. That is wisdom's voice. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10, again Lady Wisdom is calling out and she says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Because she understands something. It doesn't matter what job you take. And it doesn't matter whether you marry Tom or Jerry. If you don't have God number one in your life, if Jesus isn't first and foremost and central to your life, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what individual choices you make or what choices we make as a church family. If we are not fixated first and foremost on God and His glory, on honoring Him, which is why the conversation always starts with Him. Now, I know people get tripped up with this fear of the Lord bit. So I want to take just a few minutes before closing to talk about that. The scripture teaches that without the fear of the Lord in your life, you will lack wisdom. It's just what the scripture teaches, period. End of story. No point in having any other conversation if this point isn't fixed, if it's not installed in your life foundationally. If you find yourself in a conversation with someone, you think you're talking to Lady Wisdom and she's not talking to you first and foremost about the fear of the Lord, you're not talking to Lady Wisdom. You're talking to Lady Folly. You're talking to somebody else because she starts there. But once that point is fixed, then you become someone who understands and knows, but catch this word, appreciates and loves the fear of the Lord. What is this fear? What is this that governs our life? It's not a cowering fear. 1 John chapter 4 verse 18 says that there is a fear that has to do with punishment, and that is not it, but a fear that is delightful and full of promise. And this is where, from a Western perspective, we have so much difficulty understanding what this is. Lady Wisdom will give you a fear of the Lord. And for Christians, it is delightful. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 11, O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name. Do you delight to fear the Lord? Psalm 86, 11, unite my heart to fear your name. I don't know if you can hold those two together. The fear of the Lord, because He's awesome, He's big, He's mighty, He's holy, He's good. And at the exact same time, joy and delight. So often we think of fear and we think we're going to get smacked. We think we're going to get popped upside our head. It's not what this is. That's a fear that has to do with punishment, and that's not what Christian fear is. And the best illustration I knew to sort of like try to convey what it means to tremble before the Lord but not want to be anywhere else except before the Lord, trembling before Him because it's the place of delight and the place of joy, is the day I got married. I remember that morning I trembled. I haven't really even talked about this except for a couple of private conversations, but here I am saying it in front of hundreds of people. The morning I got married, I was trembling. I was weeping. And I don't weep often. I was weeping. I was overwhelmed at the moment that I was going to meet this woman at the altar. But I was simultaneously delighted. I wasn't afraid she was going to come down the aisle and smack me. I was expecting her to come down the aisle and kiss me. And yet there was this trembling. Maybe you've heard the Johnny Cash song. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Tremble. And yet that's the place where our joy is found. Some of you look at the cross and you tremble. And some of you look at the cross and you're delighted. And you have joy in your heart. Because it's at the cross that Our salvation was purchased where the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus Christ. And to look at that, you just tremble that God, holy, awesome, powerful as he is, would make a way of salvation by pouring his wrath out on Jesus Christ. I don't have to pay for my sin. Jesus Christ went there for me. You tremble. And at the exact same time, it's paradoxically the very source of our joy. It's the source of our strength. It's the source of our hope. You see, when you gain the fear of the Lord, you're able to look at the cross of Jesus Christ, not merely with a sense of joy, as right as that is, and not merely with a disposition to tremble at who God is, but as a believer, you get to do both. And there's no other place you'd rather be than at the foot of the cross, admiring your King and your Savior and your Lord. This is the wisdom of God. And the beginning of wisdom starts with knowing how to fear him, because only as you see him as holy and mighty and awesome can you look at the cross and see all of that poured out for the salvation of you and the salvation of me. I can't give you this. I can point you to the way of wisdom, but the call of wisdom is that you've got to take it up and you've got to pursue it and you've got to search it out. I made one resolution this year with my mother-in-law that I was going to go the first week without eating sugar. 3 more days, I finished my resolution. I'm done for the year. So I started thinking about our church family and how can we push in to a new year and a new decade with all the exciting things that we've got going on. The old church family, I want you to cultivate the fear of the Lord in your heart. Have the conversation. Pursue it. Pursue it in this word. Pursue it in a conversation at a coffee shop. Go meet a friend. Go speak to a church member. Open God's word and say, man, what was he talking about? The fear of the Lord. Nobody in Western culture pursues this. We run away from fear. This is a wholesome kind of fear, a life-giving kind of fear that will lead to your delight. And as you push into 2020 and you're thinking through resolutions, and maybe you've made some and you've already broken others, all of you look skinnier already. As you think about this year, 2020, as a church family, I want to push you, urge you, as much as I can, that you would live wisely this year and that you would start out January, first Sunday of the year, by meditating on the fear of the Lord. Pray for it. Memorize this verse. Here's a verse to get you started. This is just a start. This is so far from a comprehensive sermon on the fear of the Lord. I've been insecure about it all week. Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, oh Lord, who could stand? If the Lord's up there keeping a tally on my life and I got to stand before him and answer for my sin, I'm done. I don't stand a chance, and neither do any of you. But with you, there is forgiveness that you may be feared. He's not worried about getting smacked. He's already got forgiveness. It's not the fear that has to do with punishment, because he possesses forgiveness. But yet David would also pray, unite my heart to fear your name. David, King David, is saying, I don't want to run from the fear of the Lord because it is wholesome for my life. And he says to Solomon, if you're going to learn wisdom, you must learn the fear of the Lord. And Solomon tells his son, you got to sit at the feet of Lady Wisdom and you got to cultivate the fear of the Lord in your heart. And as a church family, as we push into a new day, a new Sunday, a new year, a new decade, I urge you, fear the Lord. Learn to look at the cross of Jesus Christ with joy, perhaps with trembling also, and know it's for you. Trust Jesus Christ. She will lead you to him. She will do it. Let's pray. Father, as we close in prayer and move to a time of response and singing, I do pray that we would be wise. Pray that we would cultivate wisdom in our heart, and that that wisdom would lead us to cultivate an ability to tremble and an ability to find our profound joy in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for what it represents in our life. Father, I pray for that one specifically who hears this message. It sounds so foreign. Father, may we not run from your word. May we trust it, receive it, cultivate it in our heart, believe it. And may we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Father, we ask for your wisdom and your grace in the year 2020. I ask that for me. I ask that for my family. I ask that for this church family. I ask that for every single one of us. I ask that so that you would be exalted among us. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.